You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. This week in our catch-up with the National Party, I ask MP Katie Niman about several issues in the recent week of politics. Firstly, I asked about the death of Kingi Tuheitia and the government's response to that. I then asked about the potential arrival of Candace Owens, a far-right speaker from the United States who has been known for engaging in anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial. I then asked about a recent submission made by Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Simon Upton, regarding the government's second draft emissions reduction plan. The submission makes several critiques of the government's attitude towards emissions reduction, particularly criticising its promotion of short-term solutions, which could end up offloading responsibility onto future generations. In our weekly catch-up with the National Party, I spoke to MP Katie Niman about each of these issues, starting off with the recent passing of Kingi Tuheitia. So we'll start off this morning with the tangihanga for Kingi Tuheitia. Prime Minister Christopher Luxon was in attendance and gave a speech on Saturday. Is there anything you'd like to add to the party and the government's response?
Oh, well, look, there's nothing I can say that hasn't already been said, but just to add to the fact that it's a huge loss for New Zealand and for the Waikato, particularly for the Māori people. You know, obviously, you know, he was a symbol of unity, and I think that's very special and important and very respected. And the whole way around the world, you know, it's going to be a difficult time for whānau, for iwi, for Māori, and for New Zealand in the days, weeks and months to come. You know, he's left a huge legacy, and I think that will never be forgotten. And so hopefully it stands us all in good stead.
Moving on to Candace Owens, a controversial figure who applied for a visa here earlier this year. Are we expecting the government to take any action regarding that?
Oh, well, look, you know, as all immigration cases stand, it's not, you know, for us to decide. It's an operational matter for Immigration New Zealand, so I can't comment on the individual case. You know, but I think at the end of the day, our immigration settings should be, and the team at Immigration New Zealand, the way they process, should be set up to manage this well.
Last year, there were discussions of the minister's ability to override those sorts of decisions when we saw the similarly controversial Posy Parker granted entry into Aotearoa, Candace Owens spreading anti-Semitic, homophobic and Islamophobic views, Posy Parker spreading similarly hateful views towards Aotearoa's queer and trans populations. Can we expect this government to act differently to the previous government?
Well, look, again, it is an operational matter for Immigration New Zealand, and so I think the key to see here is if the policy has changed, then it might be treated differently. If immigration internally have realised that there were mistakes made, then that may be addressed. But, you know, no law was changed as a result. And so it is an operational matter for Immigration New Zealand. I can't comment on the way that they process those. But, you know, that like I say, is based on the settings that are there for them to manage and work with them.
All right. And then moving on now to the recent submission by Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Simon Upton. The submission regarding the government's second draft emissions reduction plan. In it, he suggested that there are several glaring issues in the plan and that the government is unlikely to meet its emissions targets if it goes ahead. Obviously, Upton's submission is a bit different to the average member of the public making a submission. Is the government taking this very seriously?
Oh, look, I can speak for all of Simon Upton's submissions. I'm on the Environment Select Committee myself, and, you know, we have a huge amount of respect for the Commissioner and for the reports and submissions he puts forward. And they take a particular position and certainly take many aspects of what was being studied and addressed into account. But look, I think the moral of the story is that we don't have all of the answers, and that's why we take public consultation. So, you know, any submitter, whether it's Simon Upton as a commissioner or a local expert or a national expert or an interested party, you know, that is why public consultation exists, and so we're grateful for that process. So, you know, I can't speak to anything that's happened as a result of his submission. It is a draft plan. And so I think it'd be interesting to see what happens once Cabinet makes the final policy decisions.
I'd just like to speak to several of the individual criticisms Upton made during in his submission. One of these, criticising the government's least cost approach, he talks about how while many of the government's policies towards the climate crisis focus on reducing financial costs in line with some of the government's campaign policies towards the election last year, he says the environmental, human and long-term economic costs of these policies are essentially ignored. What might you say to that?
Well, look, again, it's based on what he sees and what is there in the draft plan at the moment. And I think that's the point of the draft plan, like the fast track bill, and there is always room for improvement. So I think there's no place to comment. It is for the minister and cabinet to take all of those things into consideration and make any adjustments that are necessary, or if not necessary, make commentary as to why they're not necessary. And that is the process. So, you know, I can't comment on his criticisms individually because those are his to make. But, you know, they are either helpful or lack context, and then it's the Minister or the Cabinet's job to either make changes or make commentary on why there is more to be known about that particular situation.
He does also make a comment not just about the draft emissions reduction plan, but also about the government's broader approach to the climate crisis. He says the government is attempting to shift the majority of the cost of the climate crisis onto future generations with policy approaches such as offsetting and delaying action on climate change. How would you respond to that?
Well, look, again, as I say, it's an individual as a part of the commission's opinion. And, you know, Simon, the commissioner, has had lots of opinions on a lot of things over time, some of which have been responded to, some of which have been, worked with. And so I think the point that he makes is absolutely within his remit, but don't necessarily agree. I mean, we're working very hard to make sure that we have sustainable and practical environmental programs in place, renewable energy, behaviour change, conversion to electric vehicles by way of supporting the infrastructure. That's a prohibiting factor. And so, look, I'd like to see that everything that we're doing from now, shows that that's not necessarily the case. But at a point in time, he is absolutely entitled to making that opinion and working with us to give us some context and some guidance and some research, which he does very well and we really appreciate and look forward to going forward from here.
On those individual policies you mentioned, renewable energy, the government has, been talking about removing the ban on offshore oil and gas exploration and on clean cars. You know, the government was a campaign policy to remove the clean car discount at the start of this year. And after that was removed, we saw a substantial drop in the amount of not only fully electric vehicles, but also hybrid vehicles being purchased. I guess what I'm getting at here is that, you know, the government seems to be preaching some sort of narrative regarding their environmental policy and then doing the exact opposite. How might we reconcile that?
Well, I think you might assume that, but what isn't taken into account is if that clean car policy was there, would those numbers still be the same? Because you've got to think that perhaps the early adopters, perhaps the people that were going to buy them anyway, have already bought their EVs. What we saw as a result of the clean car discount being removed is the price of EVs reducing by suppliers to match that sort of existing market. So, I would argue that what has been standing in the way of more people purchasing EVs and getting into that part of the market is the infrastructure around it. I can speak for myself, and where I live in the region and the work that I do in my electorate, I cannot operate off an EV because there are not enough charging locations for me to do the driving that I do. And so that is what we've got to address. You can't just continue to reduce the cost. So, you know, as with anything, as well as the oil and gas ban, we have to think practically. You can't cancel that and not have a plan for renewable energy. We have a plan for renewable energy, but it's going to take time. And so we have to have complementary options, and they work together to make sure that New Zealand doesn't have an energy crisis like it's having now, which is absolutely as a result of decisions that were made in 2018 and subsequent years by the previous government.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about the death of Kingi Tuheitia, the potential visits of Candace Owens, and the government's climate approach.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.